Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
Today we have our alpha mobility specialist, our knee, back, shoulder, elbow pain specialist, and our muscular gentleman specialist. We have Rustin, my boy Rustin Webb. How you doing, Rustin?
Good, I'm good. I'm excited.
Yeah. For those of you who have been getting the emails, many emails this week, you know that we just launched Rustin's 21-day knee fix solution. And so this, what I wanted to do with this is kind of go through what that is and kind of talk to Rustin about your philosophy behind what causes knee pain, if it's not, you know, like actual, you know, something that's actually happened to the knee, recovery, talk about some of the other, you know, back pain, shoulder pain, and then, just kind of get, if anyone has questions after, we'll get those people to ask you questions as well. Does that sound good?
Let's do it.
All right. So first of all, what drove you to the knee pain solution?
It was actually, you know, at the time when I started creating it, was just the, I created the mobility challenge and the mobility recipe, right? And that was to kind of prevent injuries and stuff. And what I noticed was, because this went out to thousands and thousands of people, was there was requests for, hey, you know, I feel so much better. Which ones do you like, or what exercises do you think I should do specifically for my knees? And it was like, they were feeling better, but they needed to like take it home. Right. And so at the time I thought, I'm like giving them mobility, you know, routines that are already in the program. I'm like, you know, do this one more often, things like that. And, I thought, you know, it'd be really nice to have just look, they need to take care of their knees once and for all. Let's just knock this out and take care of it and move on. And then they can continue to enjoy the mobility challenge and the exercises within that platform. And so that's kind of what sprung this, was how do I target some of these areas, these main joints that cause pain for most people, which are knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, elbow pain. Elbow pain. And so it was a matter of attacking the body that way, kind of let's just take it down. Right. And as I started creating these and programming it, I realized, oh my gosh, you don't have to have knee pain to do this. Like this is going to prevent people from having knee pain. And so as I put it together and pieced it together, I just started to realize this is a double-edged sword. This is one of those, it can attack from both ends, either prevent knee pain or just fix what you've got going on. But yeah, there are specifics around what that means when it comes to pain. So
yeah, I love that. I love that whole thing. I just love it, that whole thing, because yes, the mobility. So for those of you who are just coming on or just new, never even knew this, that Rustin and I created an alpha mobility challenge and challenge 2.0, which is yours. And then kind of like a whole library, because mobility, flexibility, yoga, Pilates, like those type of things are important to put into your full workout regime, because we want to stay injury free. We want to stay mobile. We want to stay supple. We want to be able to grow like muscle, like grow. If you want to grow muscle, you have to, you know, you have to kind of elongate the muscle by being a little bit more flexible. Right. So that in itself is just like the foundation, I think, of mobility, and just getting people into it. But then I think even though people, like you said, even though people are feeling great, there's just those, like even me, I do mobility, but right now the actual mobility that I'm doing right now is more for my lower back. So it's not specific to the knees, although, you know, what have you. But sometimes I'll have knee pain just because of a workout that I did, or because I didn't stretch after the workout. My hamstrings are tight, right? Because what you're going to go into is what actually causes a lot of this knee pain isn't the knee, right? So, right. So right. But my back feels great. You know, I have this, you know, really bad back. I still have to go to surgery, but my back feels phenomenal because of the things that I'm doing for my back. Not necessarily the back. It's actually other things that your back's program is going to cover, I'm sure. Yeah. But when you start to learn about, what should I do for my knees or what have you? It's not that. And the other thing, it's not the knee, it's things around it, which we're going to get into. But the one thing too is, if you're listening to this because I get emails and messages every single day. No lie. Every day now. Now it's every day. Funk, I can't do squats. What should I do? Funk, my knee hurts when I do lunges. What should I do? And my answer is, you're going to do squats and you're going to do lunges, because those are two foundational movements that everybody has to do. So there is no getting around, I can't do lunges. You just have to first attack the reason why you can't do lunges. And second, obviously you're going to progress into the lunge, right? You're not going to go all the way down into an ass to grass deep squat, but you got to be able to squat, man, because you're doing it on a daily basis. So why don't we talk a little bit about that, but also what your philosophy is around, you know, knee pain.
Yeah. You kind of hit on one thing that I want to address too, is you're talking about how we're kind of preparing muscles to grow. If you want to build muscle, you know, how do we do that? Well, you ever see the guy that wants to build a big chest and he walks around like this, right? Like he's like in this, like, like he thinks he looks big, but he's like rolled shoulders. He's forward. He'll never have a chest, right? Because his posture is so bad that he's never giving the muscles being allowed to grow in the space it needs to be. So doing like the knee pain or the shoulder pain things, this is designed too to improve your posture. Mm-hmm. When I have the right posture, I can grow muscles to a maximum point, at least genetically, right? And so posture has a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Funk was saying. It's like, we need to prepare the muscle tissues to be in the right state. If they're in a shortened state and I'm trying to grow them, it's never going to happen. Right. And so, this has to do with the legs too, right? The same thing. If I have really bad posture, my feet are too internally rotated or externally rotated, or who knows, right? Tight hips, things like that. I'm never going to grow my body, my legs the way I want, which kind of segues into what you were just asking at the end there, which is basically, you know, the goal of something like this is to optimize the movement of the body, which is why, you know, we end up in pain in the first place, is we lose movements. Mm. And one of the godfathers of like movement in the physical therapy world, his name's Greg Cook. He's like genius level. Like, I've been to 3 of his conferences, and when he talks, even with a master's degree, I'm sitting there going, oh man, like I'm taking notes, and it's stuff I have to digest for a couple of weeks. But he can, you know, he's like, look, there's foundational movements. There's squat, there's lunge, there's rotation, there's push, there's pull. You know, if you lose those foundational movements, you're going nowhere fast. You know, you're asking for injury, or you're asking to be sedentary, which is the worst thing you could possibly do as we get older. I turned 42 in October, this month. yeah. And I, you know, the last thing I want to do is lose my movements to where when I'm 75 or 80, I can't do what I want to do with my grandkids or whatever. And I think it's hard. We forget the long term. We forget what is going to happen in 30 years. We don't care because it's too far away. So it's really easy to just put off. But as a man, right, as a muscular gentleman, you have to look at those things. You have to address those things now. Because look at the things we did as kids, right? Or the injuries we did from football or whatever sport you played. And now you're going, gosh, dude, that injury has not left me since, right? It's like stuck with me. And so, yeah, this is our chance to really kind of grind and get the body in, you know, prime position to continue to grow. But also, look, I say this all the time to my men, the one who has the most muscle as we get old wins.
Totally.
Like if I'm 75 and I have a ton of muscle, I win. I get to do more, be more, act and take action more, right? So, and I'm not telling you to look like a bodybuilder or anything ridiculous. I don't want you to be able to not turn and wipe your own butt, you know, but like you have to have muscle tissue. And they've proven this through research article after research. I think it's meta-analysis research, tons of research showing that you got to have more muscle. It's like one of the best things your body can have. So yeah, if you're injured, you're not going to get it. And if you just stop doing lunges and stop doing squats, you're not going to get the muscle tissue and the movement patterns you need.
Well, that's man, so much to unpack there, because the most muscular person,
yeah,
going to win one. Like I said, I saw a 7-year-old guy the other day. I can't even remember what, or not the other day, but during the summer, he was at the pull-up bars and the things outside. He was shredded. Like he was shredded. And yes, I mean, he wasn't like doing burpees and everything, although I think he was actually, but like, you know, he just talked this, you know, all he was saying was, oh yeah, the way I eat, I always move. I'm always exercising. I'm always doing something, core mobility, like all of the things that we talk about. And it's just like, yeah, now I'm like, look, like he wasn't like, look at me. Cause I was more like, oh my God, look at you. You're amazing. You know, I'm touching him up. I do it, what I always do to people when they're all jacked and everything. You know, I do that to you all the time. Like,
hey, yeah,
I want to take a bite out of this. Because I know how hard it is to sustain that. Right. And it's not hard. Actually, I shouldn't say it's not hard. It's just consistency, right? Some things are going to happen quicker than others, you know, but depending on your what you feed your body and everything else. But man, it's just like, if you, like you said, if you think 10 years now, like I'm thinking 60 now, like when I'm 60, I just want to continue to be shredded. When I'm 70, I just want to continue to be shredded. Like I'm always thinking ahead of the time, right? And what do I have to do in order to get to stay at 60, right? What do I have to do in order to be where I, because when I was 40, I honestly didn't think I was going to, I said to myself, yes, I want to be, you know, the best 50-year-old volleyball player. For some reason, I'm still in the volleyball world, but like, I want to go to the U.S., you know, men's nationals and just be destroying everybody in volleyball. But I didn't really think I could do that, because I'm thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Now I'm 50, I'm, you know, and I'm able to do that stuff. I'm like, oh, now it's like, there's no, not a problem, 60, 70, 80, but I have to focus more on the mobility and stuff as well. Right.
Yeah. I think that's the quickest thing we lose is mobility. You can go in the weight room and hit up the weights and start building strength pretty quick, but you've got the getting the mobility back from what we lose is really hard. I mean, I shouldn't say hard. It takes more work than we give it, right? More people ignore it and just don't even touch it, because it's nicer to have muscles, right? It's nicer to be able to flex, but to be able to move better, it feels great. It just isn't it's not aesthetic. It's not sexy. Nobody gets to see it. Right. So, I mean, unless you're doing splits in the bedroom, but, I mean, people aren't seeing that stuff. So it's our brain isn't triggered to want to do that. Right. My wife isn't like, man, you're mobile today. You know,
Angela knows. I was like, holy shit. Look at the way you're doing those sit throughs. Wow. Yeah. Like that's how we, because we've already seen the muscle part. She's like, wow, I can't believe you can do the
quad. All right. So maybe a few of your wives will notice. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that is such a huge proponent look, you know, my grandpa, he was 86 when he died, you know, and I want to live past that. You know, I would love to live past that, but I think he was like 83 and they gave him a walker and he was like, fuck this. I don't want to. And he he'd throw it. And we'd be like, grandpa, you need your walker. And he's like, no, I'm not. Like, then they gave him oxygen. He didn't want to use that. And you could tell that he was suffering, but it was like this mindset of like, I do not want to have, I want to use my own body. I want to use my own lungs. I want to use what I have. And trust me, we'll all get there and we'll go, man, I wish I would have worked out a little bit more, done more mobility, or taken care of myself a little bit more, or eaten better. Well, I don't want to get there and think that. I want to know that I did all those things to be in that prime position, and I can chuck the walker and do my thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, when I had the lung, the one last thing before we get into it, when I had the lung disorder and I was recovering, right? So now you're in the recovery. I had the operation. I couldn't, like, I could barely breathe, I remember everyone, the doctor, okay, so you're just going to have to take it easy. Angela, you're just going to have to take it easy. And I'm like, are you kidding me? The very next day I got back from the hospital, I was at that gym doing sprints. Now, I was dying on that sprint machine, 100%. But I knew, okay, I'm dying now, but every day that I do sprints, every time that I do it anyway, it's just going to get better. I need to do what I can't let this little fucking lungs do it on their own. Like, I got to push them and continue to push them until I'm coughing up a lung. Literally, I was coughing up a lung at the gym. People are like, are you okay? Or I was coughing up here, or even on our coaching calls they used to have, I used to cough up. Like, and my nutrition, like, every, I just said, like, I want to accelerate this. And 6 months later, I was off the prednisone and my lungs were much better. And then 3 months later, everything else. But I pushed myself because I'm like, no way, man. I'm not just sitting here doing nothing. There's no way.
Oh, and can you imagine if you just stayed on the prednisone, what your body would be like, the state would be in?
It'd be horrible, man.
Yeah. All right. No, so you created movement for the lungs, right? It was creating movement, creating blood flow, creating nutrients. You were like forcing the body to just like filter all this junk, right?
Yeah. So let's go to the knees. So what do we do in order to, you know, different knee pains, different, you know, because everyone has different knee pain, right?
Yeah. And then some have patellar tendonitis, some have, I have pain in the back of my knees, sides, right? Or bone on bone. Okay, here's the deal. You know, if you got hit in a car accident and your knee's never been the same, or you got hit in football, you know, from a helmet, or like, obviously this isn't designed to fix that blunt trauma to the knee. But let me just explain. If I get knee pain, okay, aside from getting hit by something, some kind of outside trauma, what's typically happening, and I say typically meaning the most common reason, is that a joint above or below the knee is compensating or causing an issue, okay? And so the knee is compensating for those joints that aren't moving properly. And this is what happens throughout the body. You can't have a mobile joint like your wrist and a mobile joint like your elbow next to each other. You can't have two mobile segments. I wouldn't move well, right? I'd be floppy.
Plastic man.
But if I have mobility here and then stability here and then mobility again here, now I actually have, I can create better movement. I can move and grab things properly. But you have to alternate in this pattern between mobile joints and stable joints. Mm. As soon as you take away those specific movement patterns from the body, one of those joints is going to compensate for the other one, because otherwise the body won't move. And you guys know this. It's super easy to go lift weights and use the wrong muscle group, because your body will automatically compensate. We call it synergistic dominance. It will just find its way to make, because your brain's telling you have to move this way. It'll find a way. It just might look bad, or it'll be the wrong muscle group. The joints are going to do the same thing as the muscles. It's going to find a way to compensate so that you can move. It just doesn't realize that over time it's going to cause pain and issues in the body. And so then all of a sudden you've got an injury. So with the knees, we're looking at tight hips, we're looking at tight ankles, we're looking at weak feet, right? The muscles at the bottom of our feet are weak, or they're over mobile feet, like flat feet would be a good example. When we start to lose out on these different movement patterns, the knee in the middle is stuck, right? And it's saying, well, I guess I'll become more mobile, and it'll start to mobilize for the hip, or it'll mobilize for the ankle. And sure enough, you'll start to feel pain. And maybe it's not right away. Maybe it's 6 months, a year, or 2 years down the road. But I don't know if everyone can really remember 2 years ago, what was your body doing? How much were you compensating? How tight were you? So it's hard to pinpoint this. But a lot of times we look back, people are sitting way too much. Like, we're all sitting here staring at each other. We're just sitting here. Right? Sitting's the new smoking. We're all just sitting here smoking with each other right now. That's what we're doing, which is terrible. But we should all be jogging while we're on these calls. but no, so as we sit, we shorten these psoas muscles in the front of our body, the hip flexors, and we're taking away the muscle on the other side. So if you're watching this, I can't see everybody, but everybody flex your biceps. Biceps. Show Funk what you got. So if we flex, what happens to the opposite side of the bicep? What's the muscle on the opposite side?
Triceps,
right? The triceps are in a relaxed state, a lengthened state. They have to. You can't flex here and flex your triceps at the same time. It'll never happen. Okay. So what's happening with your hip flexors? The same thing. When we flex our hip flexors, or we're in right now, you're in a flex state, you're in flexion, hip flexion. The opposite muscle group, which is your butt, is completely lengthened and it's in a weakened state. Okay. So your butt's not strong in this state. It's strong when it's going into flexion, right? When you go into a deadlift, you go into hip flexion. When we start to stand, come up, right? That's where you get in the strongest part of the glute, is when it's going into flexion. So we sit 40 hours a week or 50. I don't know how many people sit longer than that, but people sit for hours and hours and hours. Your glutes just turned off. Mm. So if we walked around like this for like 40 hours a week, can you imagine me telling you to flex your tricep? You'd be like, oh my God, it feels terrible. I don't even know what's back there, right? You'd feel terrible. You wouldn't even be like, I don't have anything back there. That's what we're doing with our glutes, okay? Is we're just turning it off so long and so often that we have terrible glute strength, and which results in terrible movement in the hips itself. You have terrible hip extension. And then we start to lose on other things from sitting. So you lose internal, external rotation of the hips. You start to lose all these different things. And so what I did was I created this program that's designed to attack hip mobility at like the highest level. I want you to be able to move in every single direction that the hip can give you. It's a ball and socket joint, right? So we get circumduction. You can move pretty much in any direction. It's just how much can you do right now? Mm-hmm. And some of us have terrible movement patterns in the hips. And so you can't move well. Well, guess what? Either your lower back's going to start yelling at you or your knee. And so this one was designed to address the knee, but I can tell you what's nice about this knee program is if you gain a ton of hip mobility from it, your lower back might start feeling better too. Okay. So it's kind of a nice way to attack the body in multiple directions because we don't always know the source of where the pain is starting from, the root cause, but we know if we lack those mobility movements and we address those, that we'll start to take care of it.
Tell us about the ankle. Well, how does the ankle, affect and ankle mobility affect the knees?
Yeah. So you have dorsiflexion and you have, so this is interesting because I actually did some research in grad school on this and dove deep into all the research about the ankle. And it's funny because, you know, if we went back to cave, like primal caveman times, right? We didn't have shoes. We like killed an animal, skinned it, probably threw some fur over our feet to keep us warm. But we weren't walking around with like Nike air cushion, you know, right? Like they're, and so if you look at shoes, they're all elevated. They're all in an elevated state where you've got like at least a couple inches under your heels and you don't even realize it. It doesn't feel like it, but you are. And what's funny is over time, we start to lose dorsiflexion, which is that ability to lift your feet, your toes up towards your shin. So you lose dorsiflexion. And as you lose mobility there, again, either your feet or your knees start to compensate. We've got eversion, inversion. I mean, you can almost circumduct the ankle. If you're looking at your foot right now, you can almost spin it in a circle, right? Either direction. So there's a slight ability to circumduct, but you have flexion, extension, eversion, inversion. What happens is, you know, how many of you guys type in the chat, type in one, if you've ever had like over pronating feet where your feet are flat or they kind of roll over, you'll hear people say my feet over pronate. Anybody? Nobody. We got good feet. So you'll see a foot like this would be an example. Let me show you. So if this was a foot and you've got an arch, right? As you walk, you'll see that arch want to fall just a little bit. But if I, and this would be a stable foot. If I walk and I straighten my foot completely, that's over pronation. Oh, here we got a one. All right. One of you guys, I'm calling.
It's coming.
You.
It's coming. It's coming. I'm calling.
It's coming. Yeah, there we go. So people are over pronating, right? And it's a tendency to over mobilize the foot. Look, this is the only thing that comes in contact with the ground. So if we start to over mobilize the foot, this was built for stability. Our foot was built to be stable. We were built to have an arch. You're built to have strength through the feet and contact the floor, the ground, right? if we lose that and we go too mobile with the feet, the ankle starts to compensate. Now the ankles get stiff and has all this stiffness in the ankle. Well, then the knee starts to mobilize. Well, it wasn't built for that. And all of a sudden we have knee pain. Then the hip tightens up. Then we have low back pain. So it can trickle, right? You can have multiple problems, right? Some of us feel like complete wrecks because we have multiple issues, but this is about repatterning the body, getting those patterns back, getting those movements back. When you can't lunge and you're like, Funk, I can't lunge. Why? You know, I'm just going to stop. You're telling Funk, and this is probably what drives him nuts, is you're telling Funk, I don't want to have hip mobility anymore. And I don't want to have ankle mobility anymore. I just want to stop and just kind of do something else. But the problem is you're losing out on so much, and it's probably actually causing more knee pain because you're not doing those movements than it is the knee pain as an issue. So you have to address it by one, opening up the hips, two, regaining stability through the knee by moving properly where it should move, right? And gaining that ankle mobility back. There's foot exercises in this program to develop. You're never going to get, let's say you have a flat feet. I don't know if anybody said that.
I do. I have like, my feet are skis.
Literally. Okay. Were you born that way? Was this genetic?
So born with flat feet. Then I also had, what do you call this again? When your feet come in?
Internally rotated.
Yeah, but they used to call it back in the day.
Now, there's a term.
Foot or something. I don't know. You guys know probably if someone can tell me.
There's so like duck feet. And then there's like.
What's that called again? Anyways, I have this. And so my parents bought me like a blue feet. No, that's not them. But bought me something to keep my foot straight. Like a pigeon toed. Thank you.
Oh, there it is. Pigeon toed. Chicken feet. I was
pigeon toed. So being pigeon toed, my parents bought me these like what's his name again? Oh my god, Forrest Gump wore these little things.
Yeah, like braces.
Yeah, braces. But I broke out of my braces all the time. So I broke my ankles when I was young. So my ankles turn in and my feet are flat. But my mom kept telling me, because I used to literally walk like this. My mom's like, no, every time you walk, I want you to your brain and your foot. Just make sure that you focus on keeping those feet out. And so my pigeon toe, as I got older, became less and less because I was literally like, just, okay, I got to do this. I didn't really know any exercise back then, obviously.
Yeah.
Now I do. But yeah, like the only time my pigeon toe really comes out is when I'm running. Like if I'm sprinting, because it's just my brain doesn't have enough time to keep up with my feet. But so I'm flat footed and pigeon toed.
Yeah. So there's exercises in there that are designed. They're never going to build, like they're not going to make all of a sudden Funk wakes up and he's got this beautiful, sexy arch in his feet. No. But I will stimulate those muscles at the bottom of his feet where we can gain strength there. It doesn't mean the muscles, just because you have flat feet, doesn't mean the muscles can't be stronger, be more active and wake them up, right? And now Funk does enough to keep him awake. But these exercises are specifically to target him a little bit more, create a little bit more stimulation in the feet. And as we wake those muscles up, we can start to trigger better action moving up, right? Mm-hmm. So muscles are going to play a huge role in and around those joints. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we feed the body this different stuff, you know? Funk, you know, once you're genetically born with something like that, which there's a ton of people born with flat feet, All we can do is how do we optimize what he's got, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to change and all of a sudden build an arch, but we can optimize that. Same thing goes with if you were hit in a car accident, hit by a helmet, or something happened where you destroyed your knee that way. Look, your knee, let's say this was 100% your knee after the accident. Now here's your new 100%. But as you stop moving because of that issue, all of a sudden your 100% is going down here. I need to move you again back up to this new 100% by moving the hips better, moving the ankles better. So even though you're like, well, I was hit there, I can never fix that. Yeah, but if we continue to lose mobility in the hips and the ankles and stability in the feet and all this different stuff, not only will it be bad from the accident, but it's going to get worse. Mm. So do you want it to get worse, or do you want to actually move the best way that you possibly can? So we're trying to optimize even what you have from an external injury or, you know, something from the outside causing the issue. You can still optimize the body.
Oh, totally. So two things. Number one, I took ballet in university because so there's many reasons. One, because I was a beach volleyball player, 5'11", and I wanted to jump higher because Jerry Rice, I think, used to take ballet. One of the wide receivers used to take ballet. I'm like, oh man, I want to like, I want to jump high and be able to control my body. And then the other thing was, obviously, I was the only one of two guys in the class. So, you know, a lot of women in the class. Anyway, one of the things with ballet is you should be able to put your foot like this, right? Point your foot and point. I couldn't because of my, like, there, I was never able to do that. Like, this is about it. Well, I was a little bit better than that. But think about it, it's supposed to be like this. You know, when you're on your toes, you see them on their toes. Yeah. Mine was like this, a little bit better. But that's just because of them. But I was still able, maybe not able to be, you know, Baryshnikov, but definitely, you know, I had to work with what I had, and I had to do all these exercises. And my freaking teacher used to tell me I have to lie down on my stomach and like the stretch, the craziness. Anyways, for hours and hours and hours to stretch out that foot to make it so that it would go like this. So that's number one. And number two, I feel like a lot of people like to hide behind their injuries. And what happens is they like to take that's who they are. Oh yeah, I have this. Oh yeah, I have that. Oh yeah, I have this. And then they label themselves as that. And they're like, oh, I've got arthritis on my knees, so I can't do that. Dude, everybody's got arthritis in their knees at 50 and 60, specifically if you were an athlete. So yes, we can still move better. Like that, like a lot of people are just like, ah, well, I got this. And it doesn't matter. We're going to do, like you said, this is your new 100. We're going to keep you at that 100 as opposed to, I can't do that. I can't do this. Oh my God. I have, what's the one I hear all the time? About the lungs. Sorry, keep going, but I'll get it. There's one.
Oh, no. I mean,
asthma. I hear that all the time. I got asthma. Okay. Why do you have asthma? No, I was born with it. Yeah, but you can, there's things you can do now to breathe better. You know, it's all health. It's everything else. I don't, the asthma thing doesn't faze me anymore because I almost died and I had no lungs. So you can't faze me with the asthma. Anyways.
they have exercises, right? Like they have breathing.
Yeah, breathing. Yes.
You know, wherever your 100% is, let's get you up there. Yeah. Right. Because if you give the, I have asthma, and this was your 100. As you continue that, I have asthma, I'm just not going to work out. Well, dude, you're 100% really quick because you're just using it to lower it.
Yeah.
And the lungs need exercise, right? So, yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting what you said. It's like we want to attach it to our identity.
Yes.
It's that's not exactly. Just like, oh, I had this and I sometimes struggle with it, but I'm going to push through and be the best version of myself. It's no, that's who I am. I have knee pain. I've always had knee pain ever since blah, blah, blah happened. Or the car accident from 1985, right? It never goes
away. Totally. Right? One knee from back in the day.
Dude, let go of the 1985 exercise. It's 2022. It's time to get moving. Let's feel better. Let's, you know, yes, it's. So this is one of those things where it's like a program like this or all your workouts, dude, just look, we all have something. I was a sprinter in college. Some of the workouts were so rigorous indoor because I'm in Colorado. So I went to CU and it was a sprinter. Some of their indoor track sucked. It was horrible. It was like, I might as well ran on concrete with spikes and just like killed myself. It was horrible, but I ended up with knee issues because of that. And, I don't have knee problems now. I'm like fortunate, but like I did so much to my body. You know, when you're running, I was running like low 21 second 200s as fast. When you're running that fast, your body is going to take a hit. I mean, it's just going to happen. And I tore hamstrings. I got all sorts of things why I'm here today in this industry, but the knee pain creeped up about 5 years ago. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And I started to realize that I had done damage to the knees from that impact. But I had to think around that, right? I had to think, okay, I've got knee issues. Going up the stairs was a pain in the ass. I hated it. Now I don't even think about it. I mean, I literally don't think about it. Mm-hmm. But I addressed the main issues of where do I optimize the body now? Like I already did some damage inside the knee, but how do I optimize what I've got? Mm-hmm. And that's what you've got to do too.
Yeah. And the other thing with the knee too is, you know, one of the things as we get older is we lose our fast twitch muscles, our fast twitch, which are, we have more fast twitch muscle fibers in our body than slow twitch muscle fibers. So when people talk about how, oh, jumping hurts their knees, okay, well, we gotta continue to be able to jump. Like as we get older, not saying you have to jump through the roof, but we have to be able to jump and control our body because that's a fast twitch muscles. We have to be able to explode in some ways because those are fast twitch muscles. But also I don't want you to do it with knee pain, but what's causing the knee pain? Of course, it's all the other stuff that you talked about, you know, the lack of mobility, perhaps the technique. When you're landing too heavy. And so, you know, people talk about burpees hurting them and it's this and that. It's like, well, let's get the knee pain. Let's target the knee and do burpees at the same time. Because if you just do the knee and then you go back to the burpees, like you want it to be synergistic. It's like, okay, I'm just going to do a few burpees. I'm going to like, for me, when I had my back, I had to do bear burpees because that allowed me to keep my body closer together. If I put my feet out, obviously the further out they go, the harder it is on my back. So what I wanted to do is I still wanted to do burpees. I still wanted to keep that explosiveness. So I did bear burpees. And now as I'm doing this back mobility stuff, now I'm just doing regular burpees again. I mean, you guys saw me do the regular burpee. I was like, I was afraid the first time. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just doing it. If it hurts, it hurts. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm like, why am I afraid? Like, if it hurts, just stop doing it.
Yeah.
And even if it hurts a little bit, if I can still get through it, I got through it. So I just started doing it. Now I'm back to regular burpees again. It's crazy. And that's because of the back mobility exercise that aren't actually the back that I'm doing. It's glutes.
But it's the mindset too. It's that and your mindset. Your mindset is there's a solution. Where is it? How do I find it? And then what do I do with it?
Yeah.
I think so many people are just like, man, I got to sit on this couch.
Right. Like it's what's going to work for you. Like if you come to me and say, okay, what exactly should I do? I don't know, man. Like just obviously we know the one thing. If your knee hurts, let's get the 21 day knee fix program. Let's get that going. And then as you start to feel better at your knees, let's add in all the things that you were afraid to do as you're going through the knee pain. And, you know, because you have the mobility, you have what you need, the fix. Now we're going to continue to put the body in that position again that you were afraid of and test. Okay. Oh, that works. Yeah. Okay. It's a little bit sore, but of course it's going to be sore a little bit. I mean, we're just kind of adding muscle back to that area, you know, letting the knee know that I'm okay in this area, the brain focus, letting the knee know that you're okay. Right. Cause that's another thing too. It's the brain that you have to tell the brain, I'm stable. I'm good. Let's go. And after 21 days, you'll be surprised how better things are going to get.
I don't want to be the, like, don't like talk to your doctor. Right. Like if we talked about a pain scale, okay. And you're trying to move through lunges better, you're trying to move through squats better. If you're keeping yourself below a 4, if you're like a 1, 2 or a 3, or maybe a 4, that's what I call kind of like, maybe an uncomfortable kind of, a position where you could probably move through it. Okay. And try to continue to move. If you move into that 5, 6, 7 range, okay, back off, right? Your body's telling you something, but like, there's a way to do this. Okay. So let me give you guys some tips. When you're doing squats, grab a freaking 2x4, put it under your heels because your ankle mobility is probably not that great, and do some squats with a heel lift. And don't go down all the way. Start with a motion that is in that 1, 2, 3 range for pain, and move up and down in that 1, 2, 3 range as high and low as you can go. And then lower the heel lift a little bit and do it again, and just start moving yourself through until you can kind of get lower and lower and lower. You should be able to do a deep squat. And I know that scares some people, but a deep squat is showing and basically demonstrating optimal hip mobility, ankle mobility, and joint, you know, optimal joint movement for the knee. I'm not telling you to go deep squat heavy weight. I'm just saying to be able to do the movement. Like if you go to certain countries, that's how you take a shit.
Oh, totally.
There's countries where you have to deep squat over a hole, and that's you taking a dump, right? And do you know how many people would look at you in that country and go, wait, you can't take a shit. Oh, here.
Totally. that happened the first one of the third or fourth time I went to Thailand. I can't remember where we were. We weren't in Phuket. I think we were in Bangkok, and I went to take a shit, and it was a hole, and I can't remember what the conversation was, but it's kind of like, oh yeah, yeah, I take a poo like this. Like, no, you take it, and he sat like right down. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he goes, Ken, you too muscle. Like, oh, man. Now what I do now is I just sit in deep squat. It's very painful. It's very, very painful. But yeah, I've been doing that because it's actually helping my back. It's helping my hips. And it is extremely painful. But you push through that pain because it's just uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable pain, right? So I'm like, okay, if I just get, it's like when I go for a run, you know, the first 5 minutes of a run sucks the bag. Like all your joints are hurting you, but then literally like 5 minutes, 1 second, you're like, oh shit, this is easy, right? Same thing with the deep squat. If I can get through the first minute, then I'm like, okay, much better. But that first minute, it is a battle, mental battle. That's me anyway.
Blood flow starts taking place. Muscle fibers start waking up. Motor unit recruitment starts. I mean, it takes a second sometimes with certain body parts. And as we get older, right, it's a little bit slower. But yeah, it's funny because how many people were in the military? Do we have any military people?
Yeah, we do. We do. Big up. So put a one.
If you're in the military.
I think Chef Marcus was in the military. And yeah, chef's in chef. And I think Willie G, I believe. Yeah, there's a few in here, man.
Okay, here's what's really interesting. If we go back all the way to where I'm trying to remember the time. Well, let's just say this. If we go back far enough, the way that you would shoot your gun, okay, your rifle in the military was in a deep squat position. Mm-hmm. You would anchor the gun on your, on your shoulder or whatever, and you would go into a deep squat. And that was the ideal shooting position in the military. And what happened was because people stopped being able to move correctly because we spit so much, because we have remote controls, because we have cars and all these different things, the position in the military of how to shoot a gun changed over decades. And it literally went from a deep squat to now it's probably just standing.
I think it used to be a lunge too. Like
there was a lunge. Yep. There was a lunge pattern and a squat pattern that you would go into and you'd shoot from. And it was considered ideal. And now they can't even do that because we have so many out of shape, overweight, like just poor position and movement quality. And so kneeling is the position now, Jeff.
Yeah, kneeling. Okay, there it is. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Am I saying that? Chef?
Chef, yeah. Chef Marcus, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, yeah. He's a man.
Yeah. Now it's kneeling, right? We don't even have a lunge pattern. So it's not a half kneeling. It's not a part lunge. I'm assuming. Is it half kneeling? 1 foot down?
Yeah, it's half kneeling. It's a lunge. It's a deep lunge. Yes. He's going to show us. He's going to show us.
Half kneel. Okay.
Half kneel. Thank you. Hold on. Stay there. I'm going to spotlight you. Do that again. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. I love it.
That's awesome.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. So a lost movement is the squat, right? It's a lost movement. And look, if you can get it back, you're going to feel so much better. Again, it doesn't have to be all the way down. And the same with the lunge. You can lunge down like 2 inches. You just did a lunge. It's just the beginning part of the lunge. Come back up, do it again. Go down an inch or two. Come back up, do it again. Optimize the lunge by standing in the right positions, dropping the knee in the correct way, the way Funk teaches you guys. But just start with tiny movements of the lunge. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do a full lunge where your knee is touching the ground or just above. Start with a tiny amount of it and move back up, but you'll feel the stretch through the hip flexor if you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. And as you continue, you'll start to open up. So don't lose those movements. It's funny, you mentioned getting old and just being able to continue to move and things like that. I went to a conference in California. It was a fitness symposium, and they were putting out an award to they give out an award every year to like the most influential fitness person in the world or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were giving this award to George Neeson. Does anybody know who that is?
Oh, George Neeson.
George Neeson. So he was the inventor of the trampoline.
Oh.
Now, at the time when I went to this symposium, he had passed away about 2 years earlier. So his daughter was the one accepting the award for him. And it was amazing because she came up and gave this incredible talk about how amazing her dad was. I mean, she just loved her dad. And so he died at 96. All right. He made it to 96 years old. He invented the trampoline. And she said, my dad at 95 was so pissed off because he could do a handstand. He could do a handstand at 95 years old, but he couldn't do the handstand push-up anymore. And it drove him crazy.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
So imagine this 95-year-old doing a handstand, trying to do handstand push-ups. She said he'd keep trying to do it and he'd get so pissed off and just grumble his way out the door. She's like, what's your deal? And he's like, I used to be able to do these.
Yeah.
But it mattered to him to do these movements. And so she's giving this speech and I'm getting like the hair, standing up on my arms. It was great. And she said, one of the things I asked my dad before he passed away is I said, how did you do this, Dad? Like, how did you make it to 96 or to 95 was when she was talking to him. And how have you been able to do all this? And he looked at his daughter and he said, I never stopped learning and I never stopped moving. And those were my credos for life, was those two things. I do not stop moving and I do not stop learning. And to me, man, that when I heard that speech, I felt like I was listening to him directly because she was talking right through him. It was amazing. But it meant so much to me. It was like, I don't want to lose my movements. And I don't think enough people understand how important it is that you don't lose your movements.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that's what drove him nuts, right? Is I should be able to do a handstand push-up. I'm 95. I don't even know any 95.
We're going to be, all of us are going to be doing handstand. Well, push-up at 95. But, no doubt. We all will. We'll be doing burpees at 95. We're going to have a burpee challenge at 95.
Right. I mean, the guy was doing, he invented the trampoline. He got the trampoline into the Olympics. I mean, the guy accomplished so much. Like, he was very, very influential, but it was like, the whole time he was doing all this stuff, it was like, I can't stop moving. I can't stop learning. Like, I'm exercising the brain and the body and I'm never going to stop, So it's just a mindset I suggest all of you guys take, is just to get that. Look, you've got to continue to move.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever movement you've lost, let's figure out how to get it back to at least whatever that new 100% is.
Yeah.
Figure it out. The reason to keep sitting or to keep backing off because of certain injuries is just, it's not enough to be your excuse.
So let's just finish up with a couple of things. First is, let's go back to the knee. So how did you create this program? What's in the program? Like, just kind of go through the daily, like, you don't have to go through every exercise, but it's 21 days. Talk to them about what you
need. There's a calendar. I create a calendar. I mean, look, here's what I do is I'll literally tell you how I do it. I go through and I develop what I find the most effective ways to open up the hip. I develop what's the most effective ways to get your glutes to work. What's the most effective way to get your ankles to move again. I designed it by creating the top exercises that I find the most influential and beneficial to the body. And then I set it up to where I'm going to optimize hip movement, glute activation, ankle mobility, and knee, fortifying the knee and the movement there. And I pack it into each day. So I want you to go through that routine where we do that every day, but I also did it to where I don't. So adherence levels drop as soon as I tell you, here's four exercises, go do it. You're going to be like, okay. But if I'm like, hey, let's do it, follow along, right? How many of you guys love the follow along workouts that Funk does? I mean, there's a reason so many people want to do them, because that you feel like you're with them. So I'm doing it follow along because I want you to do it with me. And I want you to just to be able to hear what I'm saying as far as maybe cues on how to do it correctly, push you and motivate you to keep going. Maybe I'm giving you tips, but follow along is the best.
Yeah.
And physical therapists know this, like once they change something over to follow along versus like, here's three exercises I printed off on a piece of paper, go do them. Nobody does it. So I wanted it to be follow along because I wanted adherence to be very high, but I also didn't want you to get bored. So I created, there's over like 50 exercises in there and they're not complicated. I'm not trying to confuse you. You won't get confused. They're basic and simple and effective, but I'm going to have you go through these throughout the 21 days. So you're not going to get bored and feel like I've done the same exercise three times every day for 21 days. You're not going to do that. So we're going to move you through this so you feel like you're really moving correctly. And you might find some of those exercises are really going to help, where some might be even more beneficial to you than others because of your physical body is a little bit different than the guy next to you. And so there's a vault library of all the exercises. You could go back to the one that seems to be helping the most and really continue to drip that in to your daily exercises. But yeah, so did I explain that enough, or is there more?
Yeah. So, and then so just with the 21 days, is this all they're doing, or they can also do, they can also do it with their workouts? And when is the best time to do it, or is there a best time to do it?
Yeah, good questions. Okay. I would do it every day for those 21 days without question. I would just do it. It's like 10 to 12 minutes. The first week, the exercises are a little bit longer because I explain a little bit more detail on how to do it. I've taken out in production, I took out that section. Maybe it's 45 seconds, maybe it's 30 seconds. So that the next time you do it in the next week, it's a faster version. So you don't have to hear me talk the same how to do it every single time. The second, third, whatever time you're doing it, that exercise will be shortened. Okay. Does that make sense? So there's a longer version and a shorter version. I suggest, look, you're looking for 10 minutes. I would totally work out that day. I would mobility work is never going to hinder your workouts. It's only going to optimize them. Okay. So whether you've already worked out in the morning and you want to do the knee pain program in the afternoon, fine. If you want to do the knee pain in the morning and work out in the afternoon, fine. There's no perfect thing for this. You could do it in the morning, before your workout, after workout, or at night. Pick something.
Yes.
Just do it. Don't be like, oh, I was supposed to do it in the morning, so I'm not going to do it. Then do it that night.
Yeah.
Just do it sometime during the day. It's 10 minutes, and it will completely, over time, we're going to beat that dead horse until your body's starting to move again in the way it should.
And then the maintenance program. Talk about the maintenance
program. Yeah, so there's a maintenance program. There's a calendar in there to continue to do this at the end of the 21 days. If you continue to sit at a desk or at a truck or at wherever you're sitting, your body's going to move itself back from those 21. You might feel amazing at the 21 days, and then you're going to move back to a state where your body wants to go back to where it was. So maintenance is huge. So I've created a maintenance calendar. It's 3 days a week. It's all the shortened version. We're talking 10 minutes, 3 days a week. That's 30 minutes a week. That's like nothing. Okay. So you could do them, you know, but yeah. So again, continue to follow along if you love that, or just continue to do them. But I've set it up so that you can go through all those exercises month after month, three times a week.
Nice. And then finally, the library. So for those of you who do want to go back to the long version, because I know me, I like listening 3, 4, 5, 6 times because I need it in here.
Yeah.
So I'll listen to the long. I don't mind listening to the long version because it's probably also because I teach as well. So
yeah,
I want to learn how you're teaching. That's the one thing I absolutely loved about you from day one. The very first day I wrote, just again, Rustin, actually these the alpha mobility, not the alpha, the mobility recipe, the 21 day fix, the shoulder, the back, and the elbow, which are coming out. These are actually for trainers and coaches to use on their clients. So you're getting literally certification style courses, basically like ripped down a bit that literally, because I saw a lot of those testimonials and how some of those trainers are using it, the clients are just loving it. You guys are like getting it specifically. So the way you coached, like that's when I was halfway through that alpha mobility recipe, and that's when I contacted you about, oh, we got to do something. I got to get this guy in front of my because it's gold. It's gold. It's gold. So so that being said, it is going to be available on the app. It should be there now. It should be there now. Yes, it should be there now. Let me just make sure because I know that. I think Sarah told me that it's on the app. And we are changing the app. Yeah, there it is. It's on the app. It should be on the app. But let me just make sure. Yours says locked. Okay. So again, I gotta connect with Sarah to make sure the right people have it. You purchased it obviously, and you went in and it says it's locked. Wow, that's weird. Okay. I will look into that. But if you purchased it and you registered, because remember, You have to register to unlock it. That's how this works. So I will make sure that that gets rectified.
It will be though on the app.
All of them will be on the app. Yeah.
So don't worry about that.
Yeah. What was the other question I was going to say? Oh, okay. So let's.
And remember, if you don't have knee pain, that is not a good reason not to do this. Like the point is so you don't get knee pain.
Right.
Like this preventative measure needs to be more of a mindset for everybody is how do I prevent knee pain? Mm-hmm. Not like I'm never going to get it. Cause I used to say that to myself all the time. I'm never going to have knee problems. And then 5 years ago, it was like, those 12 flights of stairs looks really rough.
And if you're an athlete, if you're an alpha athlete, 100% you should be getting these like that. It shouldn't even be it shouldn't even be a thought. It's like a no brainer because if you're also putting yourself into, you know, like as an athlete, your body's moving in different directions that you may not even want it to move because of, you know, like, again, if you play hockey or baseball or anything, literally anything, any athletic sport where there's other people involved, or even if you play tennis, you know, sometimes you're going for a ball and you move in a certain way that tweaks the knee, specifically as we get older. So these type of things are perfect because you want to stabilize, fortify, and keep your body injury free so you can enjoy all of the things you love to do. So if you're an athlete, this is a no-brainer. Like, it doesn't matter what sport you do, this should be something you have. And finally, we have the shoulder pain next, right?
Yeah, shoulder pain.
So we'll do another one of these, I think.
Yeah.
Because we have shoulder next, then back, and then elbow. So you'll have a library of all of these. And I may be jumping forward, and you may not have already thought about this, but let's say that I get all, because I'm going to get all, well, I have access to, but let's say I get the knee pain, the shoulder pain, the back pain, and the elbow pain, just because most of us, as we get older, it would either be the knee, the back, the shoulder. And shoulder is a big one because there's so many things. Like, you guys, you know, I mean, I complain about my shoulders all the time, but here's the other thing. Since I've been doing seated shoulder presses, I'm being able to press a lot more, which makes sense because when I generally do presses in our programs, I'm standing up, which there's not a lot of stability when I'm standing as much as if I'm sitting. If I'm sitting now, I just realized this the other day. I did seated chest shoulder press. I was doing like 40 pounds. You guys know how much I struggle with 10 pounds over my head. But if I'm sitting down doing shoulder presses, because I have that stability and because I've been building the muscle, even though it's been, you know, lightweight because of the stability, it's still building that muscle so that now when I sit down and do shoulder presses, I'm going back to the big 40s. I mean, I used to be able to do 80s and 90 pounds, but, you know, 40 pounds for me, it was like, oh my God, I'm killing these 40s. Why? Because I was doing stuff, even if it was lightweight. So, you know, if you have all of these programs, how would you do a maintenance? I may be throwing this out there, like, because maybe I want to do all of them. Would you just do one a day, maybe?
Let's say you went through each one and did the 21 days for each one, and you're at this point where you want to go into maintenance.
Right.
I would think that the smartest thing to do is probably periodize it or kind of cycle through each one. You know, maybe it's this month I'm doing knees, this month I'm doing shoulders, this month I'm doing low back. Mm. But here's what's so cool about this. Okay. Like the shoulder pain, right? So let's say you did the knee, you just opened up your hips a ton, which is so awesome. Well, then you get to the shoulder one. I'm going to open up like thoracic spine, rotation, different things like that. Well, if you opened up your thoracic spine and your hips, you're actually helping the back, right? So like they all start to build on each other and it's literally just attacking the entire body, just combining them all. So they all overlap each other in a really good way. So I would periodize it and go like, you know, January, I'm doing knees. February, I'm doing back. March, I'm doing shoulders. And just kind of, I would just move through the maintenance 3 times a week through each month and just let my body continue to adjust. Now, if I continually deal with knees and I'm always trying to fight that because of a knee injury or things like that, maybe I just stay on that maintenance and kind of drip in the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of up to that person, right? What are they going through? If you've got nothing, I would just keep maintenancing through them month to month and just kind of, and do it that way.
Funk. I think that's gross.
Yeah, you froze just
for yeah. Yeah. So for me, like, so when I do some of the, like my range of motion stuff that I used to do, it would be, I would try to do different ones every day.
You could do that.
For a week. And then next week, so I keep it going. Yeah. So, you know, for me, I'm going to test this anyway, when it happens, I'm going to test that and do, you know, after I've done all 21, all of them, then it's like, okay, shoulder day one, knee day two, you know, alpha mobility day three, and just like build my own mobility based on your mobility stuff. Just be like, that makes sense to me in regards to like,
yeah, you could, I mean, if you want to go daily, look, you're talking 10 minutes.
No, go daily. Daily, it's not even a question. Every morning I'm downstairs, like that has to happen. Yeah. Aside from everything else, every single morning, that's part of my morning routine because it just opens everything up.
Yeah.
Right. Everything's been closed, like sleeping like this the whole night. Let me open
what's,
up.
What's nice is how you feel just 10 minutes later, 12 minutes later. It's like, oh, I'm so glad I went through that, you know?
And it's nothing. It's nothing. I throw on a little Joel Osteen and he preaches to my preaches to my soul. Yes, I listen to Joel Osteen, everybody. Yes, I like the way he preaches. All right. I get it. Okay, get over it. Get over it. Anyways, I put something on in the morning and then just, it just, you know, I can make my mobility and do what I got to do.
That's awesome.
Okay. So that is the time, man. Thank you so much, Rustin, for being on here. Yes. It's 38 for all. Is it 38 for all? No, because after today, that program will be more expensive. So if you don't get it now, it's going to be more expensive. It's at 39, I believe right now. I don't even know if it's at 38, but because basically how we have it is you get that first 5 days of very, you know, great price, launch price, and we have a regular sale price, and then the real price will be afterwards. So you got to get it, man. You got to get it. That's it. Like, I mean, that's it. Puts a lot of time and effort. I mean, for $38, that's, that, you know, it should be $199, which I think it may be, but anyways, get it. So thank you again, Rustin, for being on this.
Yeah.
Incredible. The next one to look out for is the shoulder pain.
Yep.
Right. So we're in the midst of getting that sorted out. That may come out sooner than later. So be ready for that one. Hopefully getting that out at the end of October, if not early November, but yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Rustin, any last words for these great
people? No, thank you guys for having me. This is a blast. I hope you guys keep going. Don't stop moving.
Yes, I'm going to unmute everybody. Unmute everyone. And how do I do that? Ask to all unmute. There it is. And why don't we give Rustin a round of applause? Come on, man. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Great, great.
Appreciate you.
Game changer, for sure. Game changer.
Yes.
Looking forward to using this program.
That shoulder.
Yes. That shoulder. People are like, I want that shoulder. Give me that back. I need the elbow.
Right. It's time to dunk again. It's time to dunk again.
Exactly. I love it.
I want to see that. Post that video of you, somebody dunking. That's what I want to see.
Okay.
All right. I will.
I like it. I have one from, I guess it doesn't count because it was. There you go. There you go. All right. I have a video of me dunking from way back in my 40s, but I'll have to pick that one up. But yeah, I'd like to be able to dunk again for sure. Anyways, love you guys. You guys are awesome. Have a great day. I will get this replay out very, very quickly. And thanks again, Rustin, for everything. You're awesome, man. Amazing. All right. Take care, everybody. Hey, it's Funk Roberts here, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of my Over 40 Alpha podcast. Now, before you go, I've got a special gift that I want to give you, and one thing I need to ask you as a member of our podcast family. First, if you haven't already, please claim your free 30-day trial at over40alpha.com. This is a 30-day trial into our Over 40 fitness program that has workouts, nutrition, mindset training, recovery training, everything you need to help you lose weight, to help you burn belly fat, to help you increase your muscle, and of course, naturally increase your testosterone levels and get you
into the best shape of your life. So please go to over40alpha.com and join the thousands of men in their 40s, 50s, 60s getting incredible results on a daily basis. And next, as a member of our Over 40 Alpha podcast family, please, if you know anyone, another guy in their 40s, 50s, 60s who can benefit from listening to this podcast, share it with them. And if you can, please leave a review. It really helps us with the podcast. Thank you so much again. Get it done, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.